In the grim darkness of the far future, being a soldier is never a picnic. But among all the miserable ranks of the Imperial War Machine, there's a special place for the poor souls of the Planetary Defense Force, PDF. And no, we're not talking about a portable document format. We mean the local militia that every Imperial planet is required to maintain. The PDF might technically be the first line of defense for humanity's worlds, but as we'll see, that often just means they're the first to die. In this monologue, we'll explore why being in a PDF is arguably worse than serving in the Imperial Guard. With a touch of dark humor and a dose of sarcasm, let's dive into the thankless, hopeless life of a PDF trooper. Spoiler: if you think the Imperial Guard have it bad, the PDF has it worse. What exactly is the PDF? The Planetary Defense Force is the army of an individual Imperial world, essentially a local guard raised, funded, and controlled by the planet's own government. Unlike the Astra Militarum Imperial Guard, the PDF doesn't roam the galaxy fighting the Emperor's wars. It stays home, polishing its boots on the home turf. Every Imperial planet, from shining hive cities to backwater agri-worlds, is required by Imperial law to maintain a standing PDF. The idea is simple. The PDF keeps the peace, crushes local rebellions, and holds off any invaders just long enough for real Imperial reinforcements to arrive. In theory, they're crucial defenders of their planet. In practice, they're often outmatched, undertrained, and left holding the bag when all hell breaks loose. Local control and low standards. A PDF answers to its planetary governor rather than the central Imperial command. This means the quality of leadership, training, and equipment is entirely dependent on how competent or corrupt the local rulers are. Some governors treat their PDF well, drilling them into a respectable force. Many others see the PDF as just another line in the budget, one they might skimp on. After all, raising and arming a proper army is expensive, and Hive City Hash 37's sludge pipeline repairs might get priority. The result? There's no standardization across the Imperium for PDFs. One world's PDF might be a well-equipped elite force, while the next planet over has a PDF that's basically a bunch of conscripted farmhands with antique rifles. It's truly a galactic lottery of competence. A varied bunch. Because every world is different, PDFs come in all flavors, mostly bad ones. On a high-tech forge world or wealthy hive world, the PDF could have flak armor, laser guns, even a few tanks or artillery pieces. On a feral or feudal world, the local PDF might literally carry spears, swords, or single-shot black powder muskets, because that's all the planet's tech base can produce. There have been PDFs clad in everything from camo fatigues and flak vests to medieval chainmail and leather. Some might have armored vehicles, others ride horses or indigenous beasts into battle. Consistency? Not a chance. Each PDF is a product of its planet's culture and resources. This diversity sounds interesting until you realize it also means many PDFs are woefully unprepared for modern warfare. If the biggest threat your planet has faced in centuries is a bandit raid, your militia won't know what to do when, say, a rampaging orc warband or a tyranid swarm drops from the sky. First to fight, first to fall. The Imperium at large pays lip service to the PDF as the first line of defense. That basically translates to, you guys hold on and die heroically until the Guard or Space Marines show up. The Departamento Munitorum, the bureaucrats of the Imperial military, see PDFs as a buffer, a speed bump to slow down invaders. They're rarely respected by the big leagues. Veteran Imperial Guard officers often roll their eyes at local PDF troops, knowing these hapless warriors lack real combat experience. It's not entirely the PDF's fault. How can you gain experience when your unit's biggest assignment so far, was shooting at some rioting miners a decade ago. Regardless, the broader Imperial mindset is clear. PDF are second-rate soldiers. Brave, perhaps. Necessary, certainly. But not on the same level as the Imperial Guard, and everyone knows it. In short, the PDF is the Imperium's way of making every planet handle its own problems until they absolutely can't. It's a decentralized militia system in a galaxy full of nightmare fuel. What could possibly go wrong? Hint, a lot, and it usually does. Life as a PDF trooper. Boredom, drill, and dread. Imagine you're a citizen of the Imperium, drafted into your planet's defense force. What's daily life like? For many PDF troopers, it's a mix of monotony and underlying anxiety. You're stationed on your home world, which might sound like a perk compared to guard units shipped off-world. You get to sleep under familiar skies, maybe even go home to your family when on leave. But don't be too envious. This comfortable setting comes at a price. Endless drills and guard duty. In peacetime, PDFs spend a lot of time drilling, patrolling, and basically playing soldier without a real war. You might stand guard at a spaceport checkpoint for 12 hours a day, checking papers and scanning cargo, wondering if anything exciting will ever happen. Weeks and months could go by with nothing more dangerous than a smuggling incident or a local protest to suppress. It's dull work, and complacency sets in fast. Unlike an Imperial Guardsman who knows they could be deployed into battle any day, a PDF soldier often falls into a routine, half convincing themselves that a full-scale invasion or rebellion is a distant, unlikely event. This mindset is comfortable until it's shattered by screaming sirens and an actual emergency. Then the dread kicks in. Are we really prepared for this? Training, or lack thereof. The quality of training in the PDF can range from decent boot camp to here's which end of the laser gun points at the enemy. Good luck. Some PDFs, especially on more militarized worlds, have professional drill instructors and regular exercises. They might run live fire drills, war games, and spend time on the firing range, assuming they have ammo to spare. Other PDFs, particularly on worlds that haven't seen conflict in living memory, treat training as a formality. Perhaps one weekend a month, the local reservists muster for a parade and target practice. Then everyone goes home. It's not uncommon for PDF units to be staffed largely by part-timers or conscripts fulfilling a term of service with minimal enthusiasm. These folks aren't exactly the Space Marines, or even close to your average guardsmen, in terms of combat readiness, leadership, and motivation. Because the PDF answers to the planetary governor, the officers leading these troops are often political appointees or local nobles. Occasionally, you'll get a veteran Imperial Guard officer retire to a PDF command, maybe to shore up the locals. But you could just as easily end up with Colonel Bouffante, Duke of Nowheresville, who got the job because his cousin is the governor. Charisma and tactical genius are not guaranteed. And while Imperial Guard units have commissars, steely-eyed political officers who shoot cowards and enforce discipline, the PDF usually doesn't. In theory, the Imperial Commissariat can oversee PDFs. But in practice, there's often just one commissar for an entire planet, if any at all. Many PDF soldiers will never even see a commissar, which, depending on your view, might be a relief. Discipline in the PDF, therefore, is left to those local officers and maybe a few drill sergeants. If those leaders are competent and inspiring, great. If not, well, let's just say cowardice and chaos have a way of spreading when things go south. Without a commissar around, a panicking PDF platoon is less likely to stand firm and more likely to run for the hills. No one's going to execute them for retreating, except maybe the enemy, catching them from behind. Morale. a false sense of security. Ironically, morale in the PDF can be high during peace because soldiers feel safe on their own turf. They swap war stories that they've never lived, boast about how they'll defend their home to the last, and maybe sneer at the idea of being shipped off-world like the Guard. "I'll protect my family and city right here, thank you," says the PDF trooper as he lounges in the barracks. That bravado often crumbles at the first real test. The psychological whiplash from peacetime routine to facing genuine horror is severe. One day, you're bullying some locals at a checkpoint or trudging through a dull patrol. The next, you're staring down a rampaging orc knob or an armored chaos space marine and realizing this is nothing like the drills. A lot of PDF fighters simply aren't mentally prepared for the sheer scale and brutality of 41 SDC Millennium Warfare. And why would they be? Until now, the biggest threat they knew might have been a factory riot or a smuggler with a rusty gun. It's hard to simulate a tyrannid swarm in morning drills. The jack-of-all-trades burden. PDF units also double as local police or disaster response in many places. Fire in the manufactorum. The PDF might be called to keep order. Civil unrest, PDF to the rescue, or to break heads. Xenos raiders in the hills, the PDF tracks them down. They have to do a bit of everything, which can stretch them thin. It also means they're often hated by the population they police. To the average Hive City citizen, the PDF guard at the gate is just another authority figure to curse at. Imperial Guard units are seen as heroes coming to save the planet from external threats. PDF are the ones who enforce curfews and quell food riots. Not exactly a recipe for popularity. So, on top of everything, your local PDF trooper might get spit on by the people he's protecting, right up until those people are screaming for him to save them from aliens. Talk about a rough job. In summary, being in the PDF during peacetime is a mix of tedium and false confidence. You're a soldier who hasn't truly been tested, led by whoever the governor favors, admired by few, and doubted by many. You get just enough training to feel like a badass, and likely not enough to actually be one when it counts. It's a slow burn existence. And usually, when the flames of war finally come, the PDF trooper finds out just how unready he really is. Armed with hand-me-downs, equipment, and resources. They say a good craftsman never blames his tools, but a PDF trooper has plenty of reasons to eye his gear with despair. One major drawback of a local militia force is that they have to make do with whatever their planet can supply. The Imperial Guard, for all its failings, at least benefits from the vast supply network of the Imperium standardized weapons. Factories churning out tanks, munitorum depots of ammunition, etc. A PDF, on the other hand, is often like an army shopping at a thrift store. Second-hand, locally made, or obsolete equipment is their bread and butter. The laser gun, or maybe not. The standard Imperial Guard weapon is the laser gun, often jokingly called a flashlight by guardsmen for its lack of punch, especially when facing giant aliens in carapace armor. If your PDF unit is lucky, you have laser guns too. Maybe they're locally manufactured or outdated patterns, but at least they shoot lethal laser beams most of the time. If you're unlucky, your standard armament might be an autogun, basically a ballistic rifle firing solid bullets. Autoguns can be effective, but they require physical ammo, which runs out. And they often can't penetrate armor the way a hotshot laser gun can. Some PDFs are even worse off, armed with shotguns, stub guns, think heavy pistols, or whatever the local PDF armory scrounged up. There have been cases where a planet's PDF had mostly civilian hunting weapons or improvised firearms because the planet was so low-tech. Imagine trying to repel power-armored chaos marauders with a hunting rifle and a prayer. Not great. Even when PDF troops have lace guns, the quality can vary. Newly produced lace guns on some worlds have quirks. For instance, on Armageddon, a famous war-torn hive world, the factories churned out lace guns so fast that many had a flaw causing power packs to jam. No doubt plenty of Armageddon PDF soldiers discovered that flaw at the worst possible moment. The Imperial Guard complain about lace gun power all the time, but at least a guardsman's weapon usually works as intended and has standardized power packs. A PDF trooper might be issued a rusty old lace gun that's been in the armory for 200 years. The thing might short out or lose charge after a few shots. If it's an auto gun, hope you stocked up on bullets and ear protection. Armor or the lack thereof. The typical Imperial Guardsman wears flak armor, not the fanciest stuff, but it can stop shrapnel and maybe a last shot or two. PDFs sometimes have flak armor as well, and sometimes they don't. If the local governor is stingy or the planet's industry is underdeveloped, PDF troops could be fighting in little more than a uniform and maybe a flak vest. There are images of planetary militias wearing old flak coats or even just thick leather jackets as armor. On technologically regressed planets, PDF units might literally wear metal breastplates or scrap metal as armor plating. It's better than nothing. But when the incoming fire is high velocity or explosive, you'll be wishing for a guard-issue flak jacket, which you once laughed at as uncomfortable and now dearly miss as you bleed. A well-off world's PDF might have flak armor and helmets similar to the guard, often modeled after the famous Cadian style, since Cadian gear is seen as a gold standard. However, looking like a Cadian and fighting like one are two different things, and the latter is rarely achieved by PDF forces. Heavy weapons and vehicles. Here's where the gap really shows. An Imperial Guard regiment typically fields heavy support, things like heavy bolters, autocannons, mortars, maybe even Lehman Russ battle tanks or Chimera armored transports, depending on their role. A PDF, unless on a very wealthy or strategically important planet, usually has only a fraction of those heavy assets. Many PDF units might have a few heavy stubbers, machine guns, or a mortar team or two in each company, and perhaps some anti-tank rocket launchers that date back to the last century. But tanks and artillery? Not common. If a world does have a handful of Lehman Russ tanks, they might be kept clanking away in a PDF armored company. But here's the kicker. If your planet can build tanks, the Imperial Guard will tithe most of the good ones away. The Imperium loves its tithe system. Every planet must give a portion of its best to support the greater war effort. So, let's say Forge World Smithville produces 100 tanks a year. The Munitorum might demand 90 of those for off-world guard armies. The PDF of Smithville might get 10 older or second-line tanks to keep for itself. And if your governor dares try to hold on to the best tanks or the best troops instead of tithing them to the guard, he's literally committing treason. The penalty for giving substandard tithe soldiers or equipment to the guard can be death. The Imperium doesn't mess around. So, by design, a PDF is often left with hand-me-downs. The newest, shiniest gear goes off to war on someone else's planet. There are some exceptions. Fortress worlds or key industrial worlds might maintain decent arsenals. But even then, it's usually nothing on the scale of a dedicated guard army. A PDF might have a few armored units or a squadron of outdated sentinel walkers, those chicken-legged scout walkers, that the Imperial Guard phased out. Perhaps there's a defense laser battery in the capital, big anti-orbital lasers, good for fending off initial attacks, or some anti-air guns around spaceports. But quantity and quality will likely be limited. The phrase, we're on our own applies. The PDF can't call up the Segmentum command and requisition a Titan Legion or a wing of fighter craft when an invasion hits. They have to fight with what's on the planet, even if that's a couple of rusty Laskerbine Mark IIs and Uncle Otto's farming tractor refitted with the stubber on top. Supply and logistics. If you think guard logistics are bad, and they often are, the Munitorum is infamously inefficient, PDF logistics can be a total mess. Supplies for a PDF are the planet's responsibility. In a protracted conflict, if factories are overrun or supply lines cut, PDF units can literally run out of ammunition, fuel, spare parts, even food. An Imperial Guard army might have dropships bringing in crates of las packs or rations from off-world depots. A PDF army is the depot. Once the planetary stockpile is gone, there's no resupply coming, until or unless the Imperium relieves the planet. Siege of your hive city lasting longer than expected? Those thousands of autogun rounds you started with might dwindle to nothing. We have accounts from various war zones where the local defenders resorted to scavenging weapons from the fallen because their own were exhausted. In one famous siege, Vervunhive, as told in the novel Necropolis, the militia defending the city had to rely on the arrival of Imperial Guard regiments, not just for manpower, but for munitions. Their own ammunition was being rapidly expended in the fight against a massive enemy force. This is typical. PDF are structured for short, hopefully quick conflicts, since they aim to delay until help arrives. If a war drags on, they're in trouble. Quality control and maintenance. Another charming aspect of PDF gear, maintenance can be questionable. A guardsman unit typically has tech priests and engine seers assigned to keep things running, and a culture of regular maintenance. Commissars love punishing slackers who don't keep their laser gun clean. In a PDF, especially one that hasn't seen action in a while, vehicles might sit in a depot gathering dust. The one tech priest in town might be more interested in tuning up the governor's personal shuttle than a bunch of Chimera APCs that haven't moved in decades. So when the alarm sounds and the PDF rolls out those tanks or fighter craft, guess what? A lot of them might break down or malfunction. It's a running joke, and tragedy, that many PDF vehicles get disabled not by enemy fire, but by mechanical failures at the worst times. Perhaps the tank crews never practiced loading shells under stress, or the aircraft pilots never actually engaged in a dogfight before the real thing. The first real use of a piece of PDF equipment might also be its last. To sum up, the typical PDF trooper goes to war under-equipped and undersupplied relative to the foes they might face. Their weapons are often inferior, their armor lacking, and their heavy support scanty. They do the best with what they have. There are stories of ingenious PDF units rigging up civilian vehicles into improvised war machines, or turning industrial lasers into anti-air guns. That kind of jury-rigged heroism is admirable, but it underscores the point. They're improvising because they don't have proper military hardware to get the job done. When your plan to stop invading mutants includes, maybe we can strap a bomb to a cargo hauler and drive it at the enemy, you know you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. The Imperial Guard may call their laser guns flashlights and gripe about flak armor, but deep down every guardsman knows it could be worse. They could have been left behind with the PDF, holding a single-shot rifle and a prayer when the sky starts falling. When the sky falls, PDF in real wars and real trouble. All the deficiencies of the PDF, patchy training, poor equipment, inexperienced leadership, come brutally to light when an actual war erupts on their planet. This is where the PDF earns its grim reputation for failures and tragedies. Remember, the Imperium's strategy is essentially PDF holds out, Then Imperial Guard / Adeptus Astartes arrive as saviors. If you're reading a famous war story in Imperial history, 9 times out of 10, the first act is, "The PDF got absolutely slaughtered until reinforcements arrived." It's so common that it's almost a trope in Imperial lore, and there's a cynical reason for that. If a PDF ever totally succeeded in stopping an invasion on their own, it wouldn't become a grand off-world legend. It would just be a minor footnote. We hear about the catastrophes because those are the times when the situation was so bad, the Imperium had to step in big time. Let's walk through what typically happens when a planet's worst nightmare comes true and the PDF has to face a real invasion or uprising. The oh crap moment. It often starts with denial. The planetary governor might ignore early warning signs, strange radar contacts, disappearances in the outer settlements, an incoming astropathic distress call, until it's almost too late. Many worlds have been caught with their pants down because the local authorities assumed, probably nothing. Pirates, maybe? We can handle that. By the time it's obvious that a full-fledged enemy force is attacking, the PDF is already on the back foot. Alarms ring, local commanders scramble to mobilize troops who might be scattered across the planet, and panic starts to set in. Take the example of the Second War for Armageddon. The governor of that hive world, Hermann von Straub, utterly failed to prepare despite clear signs of an orc invasion. When the greenskins hit the atmosphere, a lot of the PDF units were not even at full readiness. The results were predictably awful fragmented defense, confusion, and orcs running rampant. It took the arrival of legendary heroes like Commissar Yarik and Space Marine Chapter Masters to salvage the mess, but not before countless PDF soldiers perished in initial battles that they were never positioned to win. Desperate last stands. The PDF's strategic role is to delay. In plain terms, that means fighting defensive actions and often sacrificing themselves to buy time. There are countless tales of PDF regiments making heroic last stands at gates, bridges, or bunkers, holding out as long as humanly possible. One famous narrative is the Siege of Hell's Reach Hive on Armageddon during the Third War. While Space Marines and Imperial Guard featured heavily, the local hive militia, essentially PDF, fought tooth and nail to defend their city. They died by the thousands, often ordered to hold positions to the last man, and hold they did until they were overrun and slaughtered. Similarly, on other worlds, you'll hear of the brave 12th PDF Regiment, completely destroyed in action, but stalled the enemy for 2 days. In Imperial commendations, that's praise. They did their duty. From the PDF troopers' point of view, that duty meant dying in droves, anonymously, so that someone else might arrive later to take the glory. It's a harsh fate. Sometimes these last stands are literally all the PDF can do. When Hive Fleet Behemoth, Tyranids, first struck the Ultramar region, the initial worlds in their path had only PDF and a few token forces. One such planet, Prandium, was an idyllic agri-world. Its PDF and citizens got devoured almost to the last in a matter of days. The galaxy only remembers Prandium as a footnote. That was the Tyranids' breakfast planet. For those defenders, it was the end of everything. The same pattern played out on dozens of worlds facing Tyranid invasions, chaos incursions, or orc wars. PDF fight bravely but are overwhelmed, sometimes to the point of total annihilation. The lucky ones manage to hold key locations, like a capital hive city or a spaceport, long enough that when Imperial Guard regiments finally arrive in system, there's still a beachhead to land and organize. The unlucky ones? Well, those are the planets where, by the time help shows up, the only humans left are either prisoners or corpses. Incompetence and chaos. We have to address an ugly truth. Not all PDF units go out in a blaze of glory. Some simply fall apart. Lack of experience and poor leadership can lead to battlefield collapses. There have been incidents where PDF troops retreated or routed en masse at the first heavy resistance. If you've never heard the deafening roar of an orc horde or seen a chaos demon charge your lines, your nerve might break too. Without the rigid discipline enforced in the Guard, PDF soldiers sometimes decide survival is better than obeying a hopeless order. Entire regiments have melted away, deserting their posts when they lost faith in the defense. The Imperium doesn't broadcast these shameful moments. Propaganda prefers the heroic last stands, but soldiers' accounts and some inquisitorial records quietly note them. For example, during a rebellion on planet Adumbria, as recounted in one source, certain PDF garrisons basically surrendered to the enemy or fled because a chaos insurrection spooked them and their commanders vanished. It took commissars and inbound guard units to restore order and punish the cowards. Then there's plain old military incompetence. Since PDF officers can be political lackeys, you'll find tales of colonels and generals making truly boneheaded moves, like misreading strategic maps and sending their own troops into ambushes, or failing to coordinate defenses between cities. On one occasion, a PDF artillery unit reportedly shelled their own forward positions because communication lines broke down and nobody fixed them. Whoops. In war, such errors are common, but a seasoned Imperial Guard staff might catch and correct them faster. A PDF staff experiencing their first real conflict might be deer in headlights. By the time they figure out how to properly wage a war, half their force could be gone. Overwhelmed by the unknown, the galaxy throws some truly horrific foes at humanity. Space Marines and the Imperial Guard trained to face anything from heretics to hive fleets. PDF, on the other hand, often have no clue what they're up against initially. Picture this. A PDF trooper on a quiet colony world sees something scuttling in the dark. His first ever glimpse of a Tyranid Lictor, a chameleon-like bug monster. He empties an entire magazine wildly in panic. The creature eviscerates him and half his squad in seconds. The rest of the platoon, who have never even heard of Tyranids, the Imperium isn't great at spreading useful info, are now terrified out of their minds. By the time someone in command realizes, "Ah, Tyranids, we need flamers and heavy guns," the PDF perimeter might be collapsing. Knowledge is power, and the PDF often doesn't have either. In first contact situations with new enemies or anomalies, they are flying blind. The Guard at least has some intel dissemination, and veteran NCOs who might say, "I fought these things on Orion 9, aim for the head." PDF might not. Collateral damage and tough choices. A sad reality is that, when pressed, Imperial commanders might consider the PDF somewhat expendable if a Space Marine force or an Inquisitor shows up to handle a crisis. They won't hesitate to order the PDF into sacrificial diversionary attacks or to defend hopeless positions to buy time. The PDF command, being subordinate, pretty much has to obey any Imperial official who outranks the governor in a crisis. And trust me, everyone outranks the governor when your planet is on fire, from the Guard colonel to the Astarte's captain. This can lead to some very grim deployments for PDF units. Hold this valley at all costs, essentially meaning you're not coming back, but you'll slow the enemy. And so they go, dutifully marching into the meat grinder because the Emperor, through his appointed saviors, has told them to. One infamous example. During the First War for Armageddon, once Space Marines and Grey Knights intervened to stop the demon onslaught, the surviving human soldiers, mostly Armageddon PDF and a few Guard, were rounded up by the Inquisition. Their reward for fighting was to be sent to labor camps or executed, to keep the secret of chaos and demons from spreading. Imagine surviving a war by the skin of your teeth, only for your own side to say, "Good job, now step into this vault and drink this poison, please." It happened. That's perhaps an extreme case, but it highlights how thankless the role can be. Even victory can turn into tragedy for PDF troops. Civil wars and rebellions. Not all PDF failures are against aliens or invaders. Sometimes the threat comes from within. A PDF is also tasked with stopping rebellions, including those caused by treacherous governors, cult uprisings, or chaos insurrections. In these cases, the PDF often ends up split. Units loyal to the Imperium might find themselves fighting other PDF units that have thrown in with a heretic or separatist. Brother against brother, literally. During the Macarian Heresy, after the great conquests of Lord Solar Macarius, many far-flung governors rebelled. Countless PDF forces engaged in brutal planetary civil wars. This is the worst-case scenario for the Imperium, when the defenders themselves become the enemy. It's not uncommon that a sizable portion of a PDF, led by an ambitious or corrupt officer, will turn traitor. Genestealer cults, alien-infective cultists, are particularly notorious for infiltrating PDFs. A cult might quietly infect the ranks over years, and when the revolution starts, half your PDF suddenly sports extra arms and slavering maws, turning their guns on the loyalists. You can imagine the confusion and horror for the loyal PDF soldiers. The guys who were sharing a drink with them in the barracks last week are now trying to eat their face. In any such scenario, the planet is basically doomed without external help, because once the PDF fractures, organized defense collapses. The Imperium then has to send Space Marines or Guard to essentially wage war on what used to be the planet's own army. And if everyone on the planet goes rogue, like whole PDF joins the rebellion, then it's really over. The world will either break away until reconquered or be marked for extermination. So much for the proud defenders. They might go down in Imperial records not as heroes, but as traitors to be purged. Talk about leaving a legacy. Through these grim examples, a picture emerges. When real war comes, the PDF is usually out of its depth. There are exceptions where they performed well, more on that soon, but by and large, the PDF's story in war is one of valiant defeat, necessary delay, or outright collapse. They are the guys in the horror movie who get killed in Act 1 to show how scary the monster is, paving the way for the protagonist, the Space Marines or Guard, to step in for Act 2 and the 3. No one writes epic ballads about the PDF company that got swarmed in the first 5 minutes of battle, but without their sacrifice, the heroes wouldn't have time to save the day. If this sounds bleak, it's because it is. Being PDF means when the sky falls, it falls directly on your head, and you hold it up as long as you can, knowing no one is coming to save you until possibly after you're dead. A not-so-friendly comparison. PDF versus Imperial Guard. This point, you might wonder, is the Imperial Guard really that much better? After all, guardsmen die by the millions, and their life is famously harsh. True. The Astra Militarum, Imperial Guard, is a meat grinder of its own. But the Guard has a few things going for it that a humble PDF trooper can only dream of. Let's break down why, pound for pound, a guardsman has it slightly better, or at least less worse, than a PDF soldier. Training and experience. Guardsmen, once deployed, become battle-hardened quickly, or they don't survive. They drill regularly, often under veteran officers and commissars. They see combat on multiple battlefields. A PDF trooper might spend 20 years and never fire his gun in anger until the one day he has to, and on that day he's likely to make fatal mistakes. The old saying goes, experience is the teacher of fools. Well, the guard has experience. The PDF often has fools. Guardsmen also usually fight alongside other regiments, learning from each other. Acadian regiment might show a newly founded militia regiment the ropes, for example. PDF doesn't get that cross-pollination of tactics. They're a closed loop on their planet. If they've developed bad habits or outdated doctrine, they'll never know until it's too late. Discipline and morale. The presence of commissars in the guard is a double-edged sword, but it undeniably keeps guard units in line even in horrific situations. Fear of being shot for cowardice can stiffen a wavering line. Plus, Imperial Guard units are bombarded with Imperial Creed propaganda and have a strong identity. We are the Astra Militarum, the hammer of the Emperor. PDF units have pride too, but it's more localized for Planet X. That can be strong, but it can also falter if, say, the governor flees or their city falls. Also, guardsmen are often fighting with their brothers from the same world, at least within a regiment, and have esprit de corps that's been forged in war. A PDF often includes whoever was around. Maybe less cohesion. Certainly, once panic sets in, a PDF without a commissar or equivalent can disintegrate. So, morale-wise, the guard has an edge in steadfastness. Grim as it is, they expect things to be terrible and are psychologically braced for it. A PDF hopes things won't get terrible and is shocked when they do. Organization and leadership. The Imperial Guard's command structure, while not perfect, is a professional military hierarchy backed by the Departamento Munitorum and Segmentum commands. Generals in the Guard are, again, usually, experienced military men who have risen through ranks. They have strategic support from fleets, SATCOM, etc. The PDF's leadership is provincial. Even a talented PDF general has probably never coordinated a multi-planet campaign or dealt with high-level strategy beyond his own atmosphere. So when a PDF faces an interplanetary invasion, they're like local militia captains trying to play chess against grandmasters. The guard also benefits from specialized units. For example, if an enemy has psykers, the guard might have a Culexis assassin or sanctioned psyker unit attached. PDF not so much, unless their planet by chance had one. So in a head-to-head comparison, the guard is more flexible and better led at large scales. On the ground, a veteran guard sergeant can outcommand a PDF captain who's green. Harsh, but frequently true. Equipment and support. As discussed, the guard gets better and more consistent equipment. More importantly, they get combined arms support. When guardsmen go to war, they often have Imperial Navy orbiting above for airstrikes or bombardments. They might have armored regiments rolling alongside infantry, plus artillery divisions pounding the enemy from afar. A PDF is usually on its own. If you don't have something, you can't call for it. No navy in orbit, unless by chance a fleet was visiting. If you lack air support, tough luck. Maybe jury-rig a crop duster plane to drop grenades. Imperial Guard can call in the big guns. PDFs are the little guys with pop guns until big guns arrive. Also, medic support. A guard army has field medics, maybe even chirurgeons, and evacuation of wounded. Not always, but it exists. A PDF likely has whatever local hospitals or medics are around, which will be quickly overwhelmed in a real war. Scale of reinforcements. If a guard regiment is in trouble, they might get reinforced by another regiment or space marines, etc., as part of a campaign. If a PDF is in trouble, well, by definition, the only reinforcements are off-world, meaning they stop being a PDF the moment those reinforcements come. They become part of a larger Imperial forces effort. There's no such thing as calling the neighboring planet's PDF for help in time warp travel and politics. Make that impractical in emergencies. The PDF is essentially a single regiment, or set of regiments, army, that cannot expect timely outside help until the Imperium mobilizes, which often takes weeks or months. The Guard is already that mobilized help, supposedly. Chance of glory, or at least recognition. An Imperial Guard unit that fights valiantly might get honors, be remembered in histories, have heroes that are lauded. Think Commissar Yarik, Sly Marbo, Colonel Ironhand, Strachan, etc., who are Guard legends. They get medals, honors, maybe even retirement on a nice agri world if they're extremely lucky and survive long enough. A PDF unit that fights valiantly is likely to be merged into the narrative of the war that the Imperial Guard Marines eventually won. Individual PDF heroes rarely become famous outside their planet, and if the planet falls, there goes their audience. In fact, if a PDF performs too well, the Imperium's reward is often to draft the survivors into the Imperial Guard. Congratulations, you defended your home. Now we're shipping you off to fight somewhere else as part of the Astra Militarum, effective immediately. So much for staying home. Essentially, a PDF trooper's best-case scenario might be to survive the war, and then get conscripted and rebranded as a guardsman. The Imperial Guard trooper's best-case scenario is to survive multiple wars and retire or be elevated to a veteran company, etc. Neither is great, but one involves being sent into even more wars as a prize. Now, let's be fair. Not every Imperial Guard unit is elite, and not every PDF unit is garbage. There have been some PDFs that were extremely competent. Often these ones became Guard regiments, or were from planets with martial cultures. A famous example is Kadia. Technically, Kadia's interior defense forces, the PDF equivalent, were superb by necessity, because every Kadian grew up under threat of chaos invasions. The Kadian PDF, often called the Interior Guard, was so good that it basically blurred into the Imperial Guard units raised there, and even they couldn't hold forever. Kadia fell when faced with overwhelming chaos forces in the 13th Black Crusade, but they held for a remarkably long time, and that was thanks to near-Imperial Guard levels of training and equipment on the PDF level. Another example, in Ultramar, the realm of the Ultramarines, each world maintained a militia, the Ultramar Auxilia, that was exceptionally well-trained, ready to fight alongside Space Marines if needed. Those are high standards few other worlds meet. By contrast, think of a quiet mining world with 10,000 people that nonetheless is obliged to have a PDF company. Those poor fellows might have practically zero chance if confronted by anything more dangerous than a drunken miner with a knife. To boil it down, the Imperial Guard is like a professional firefighter, constantly battling blazes across the galaxy, hardened and equipped, if not always adequately, at least consistently. The PDF is like a volunteer fire brigade in a small town, fine for the occasional kitchen fire, but when a whole city goes up in flames, they're simply not equipped to handle it. They might be brave, they might try their damnedest, but professional wars require professional armies, and the PDF is not that. So yes, the guardsman's life is grim and likely short, but at least he's part of a massive, structured war machine with a fighting chance, sometimes. The PDF trooper's life is also likely short when real war comes. But it's the isolation and inevitability of being overwhelmed that makes it arguably worse. Dying for the Emperor in a far-off trench alongside your regiment is one thing. Dying essentially alone on your home street, knowing no help is coming in time, that's another level of despair. Silver lining. One could joke that a PDF soldier at least gets to die on his home planet, maybe even in his hometown. The average guardsman probably dies light years away, in a swamp or desert no one back home can even imagine. If you're sentimental, you might find a tiny comfort in falling where your ancestors are buried. But honestly, when the claws of a genestealer are around your neck, the view out your bedroom window matters little. Another possible perk, PDF duty in peacetime is safer than guard duty in wartime. Some PDF troopers live their whole lives without seeing real combat. They serve, they eventually retire to civilian life. Imperial Guardsmen almost never get that luxury unless they're extraordinarily fortunate. So if you happen to be on a world that never gets attacked, PDF life wasn't so bad. The trouble is, if you're having a video made about you titled Why PDF is Worse, odds are your world did get attacked and you're in for a universe of pain. In any case, the comparison serves to show that while both the Imperial Guard and PDF are cogs in the Imperium's war machine, the Guard is like a frontline unit and the PDF is like the reserve militia. One is expected to win battles, the other is expected to delay defeat. Those expectations alone tell you a lot about the prospects of each. The hopelessness and dark humor of being PDF. Let's step back and consider the emotional and psychological toll of being in the PDF. We've covered the practical disadvantages, but what does it feel like for those living it? If there's one word that captures it, it might be hopeless. Not in the sense that PDF soldiers never have hope. Individually, they might be optimistic, courageous, faithful to the Emperor. But on a systemic level, the odds are so often stacked against them that it's hard not to see the whole thing as hopelessly cynical. Imagine being a fresh PDF recruit. You join up, perhaps out of a sense of duty. You want to protect your home. Maybe it's that or a prison sentence. Who knows? Some worlds do conscript petty criminals into the PDF for redemption through service. You go through basic training. You learn the hymns to the God Emperor. You practice with your weapon. You're issued a uniform you're a little proud of, and your mom or sweetheart back in town smiles at you on parade day. You feel like you're part of something important. We are the shield of our world. That's a noble sentiment to carry. For years, nothing happens to shatter it. You respond to a few emergencies. A factory fire here. A scuffle with some underhive gangers there. Maybe you even kill a band of pirates that landed in the hills. Good job. You're a local hero for a week. Life is okay. Then one day, the sky literally starts falling. The sirens you've only heard in drills are wailing for real. You're rushed to the city walls, or the spaceport, or the fields outside the town, heart pounding. Explosions on the horizon, smoke rising. The PDF sergeants, who've never seen real combat either, shout at everyone to get to position. You grip your laser gun tight, trying to remember the litanies against fear. Over the vox, fragmented reports, enemy landing in force, Sinos. Multiple hostiles, hold the line. The first time you see a 12-foot-tall rampaging orc or a chittering tyrannid horror, your blood runs cold. It's far more terrifying than the propaganda posters conveyed. Your comrade on the heavy stubber is already screaming prayers. The battle is joined, and it is chaos. Your shots seem to do nothing to that hulking enemy, and your buddies are being torn apart around you. Suddenly, those reassuring words from training, the Emperor protects, feel distant. Will he protect us, really? Or are we just here to slow these monsters down until something else intervenes? The hopelessness sinks in fully when you realize no reinforcement is coming today or tomorrow. It might be weeks. You might literally be expected to fight until you die, just to buy time. How many humans can truly steel themselves for that? Some do, out of courage or fanaticism. Others break. For PDF, Breaking is easier because you know no one will swoop in at the last minute in this battle. Your planetary astropath only sent the call for help yesterday, and the nearest guard or marine force could be systems away. It's just you and whatever ragtag comrades remain up against the worst nightmare you've ever faced. It's often said that only in death does duty end, a common Imperial slogan. For PDF troopers, that feels less like a motivator and more like a simple statement of fact. Their duty will likely end in death, sooner rather than later when a major conflict erupts. The trick is just to make that death count for something. It's a harsh mentality, and many PDF do embrace it when cornered. They resolve to sell their lives dearly, to do their emperor and their world proud by bleeding the foe as much as possible. It's tragic and heroic in its own way, but it's also deeply, deeply sad when you think about it. These are not genetically enhanced super soldiers or lifelong professionals. They're shopkeepers, farmers, miners, clerks handed a rifle, and their final moments are spent in muddy trenches or burning city ruins, wondering if this sacrifice will even be remembered. Now, as grim as all that is, there is a sort of dark humor that pervades the ranks of the PDF, and the Guard too, for that matter. Gallows humor is a soldier's friend. You'll hear PDF troopers joke about their predicament because laughing is better than crying. For instance, they might joke that PDF really stands for Pretty Darn F asterisk Ed, asterisk asterisk when the enemy arrives. Or they'll quip that the standard tactical doctrine is advance to the rear at the first sign of a tyrannid. There's also cynicism directed at their own leaders. Governor so-and-so says we fight to the last, easy for him to say. He has a shuttle fueled and ready to leave. This is a common scenario. Not a few governors have done a runner when things went bad, leaving the PDF to deal with the mess. Those that do are traitors in the eyes of the Imperium, but by the time retribution comes, that world might already be lost. One common humorous or not-so-humorous observation: you only ever hear about the PDF when they fail spectacularly. This truism is often passed around in the ranks with a smirk. If we do our job right and stop this invasion, a PDF sergeant might say, no one will ever know or care. If we screw up and the Marines have to save us, we'll be the laughingstock of a million barracks jokes. It's a bitter reality that all the glory usually goes to the later arriving forces. A PDF unit could have held a Hive City alone for a month against overwhelming odds. But the history books will headline the arrival of the Imperial Fist's Space Marine chapter who finally broke the siege, not the ragged survivors of Hive Primus Militia who kept the flag flying up to that point. The PDF soldiers themselves sometimes joke about this. Don't worry, boys, if we all die today, they'll erect a tiny plaque on a wall somewhere misspelling our regiment name. That's something, right? Q grim chuckles. And what about those PDF that do survive and win a battle? Perhaps a minor alien raid they manage to repel, or a small chaos cult they stamp out. Well, the laughter there is that if they do too well, the Munitorum will say, ah, excellent work. Clearly your planet has surplus military potential. We'll raise an Imperial Guard regiment from your best troops immediately. So you win, and your reward is being shipped off to some hellhole far away, leaving your home anyway. It's almost comical in a twisted way. The PDF can't really win in the long run. If they lose, they die. If they win, they get drafted or expected to fend off something worse next time. Let's not forget the local population's view, which can also have comedic elements. Civilians often have no clue how underprepared the PDF might be. They'll shout praises like, "Our brave PDF will send those orcs packing," while handing a soldier a half-dead floral bouquet as he deploys. The soldier forces a smile, thinking, Lady, you have no idea I've got 5 less rounds in my kit and no helmet. After the battle, if the PDF falters, some frightened citizens might even blame them. You're supposed to protect us. Why are you falling back? The PDF can't win in PR either. Heroes when things are fine, scapegoats when they aren't. A sardonic line in some novels. Whenever things go wrong, blame the PDF. If an enemy sneaks through the sewers, it's the PDF's fault for not checking. If the defense fails, it's the PDF's incompetence. Even if the PDF fought tooth and nail, the narrative often becomes, if only the Imperial Guard had been there sooner. Sometimes PDF troops themselves develop a fatalistic humor. A unit might nickname itself something like the Speed Bumps or Emperor's Expendables, joking that we exist to make the Navy's orbital bombardment look more effective by comparison. Or maybe we can scare them off with our fashion sense, pointing to their motley gear. This humor is a coping mechanism for sure. In all this darkness, one might ask, why does anyone serve in the PDF at all if it's so miserable when war comes? Well, for many, there isn't a choice. The Imperium runs on duty and fear. People serve because it's demanded, because the alternative, letting your home fall without a fight, is unthinkable, or because of simple inertia. It's just what is done. And ironically, many PDF soldiers are proud up until the bitter end. They love their home. They want to defend it. That noble intention is what the Imperium exploits to ensure every world has some garrison. It's just tragic that the Imperium doesn't equip or train them to a truly sufficient standard most of the time. A brief note on the rare good times. Lest we be accused of one-sided doom and gloom, let's acknowledge, occasionally, the PDF hold their own. There are a few instances where, against all odds, a PDF-led defense actually saved the day, or at least held out so well that minimal help was needed. Usually this happens on worlds that are fortress-like, or have a standing army near guard quality. For instance, the defenses on certain forge worlds or shrine worlds have repelled smaller-scale invasions without huge outside help. In those moments, the PDF can rightfully pat themselves on the back. They were enough. However, the cynical twist, if a PDF completely thrashes an attacker, odds are the attacker was relatively weak, a pirate fleet, a single chaos warband, etc. Nothing like the great threats that require full Imperial intervention. So yes, a PDF might win a battle here or there. But if it's a serious threat, the pattern holds. They're going to need the Guard or Marines eventually, or they'll be wiped out. So, from the PDF soldier's perspective, the galaxy is a deadly place, and your job is to stand on the wall with a pea shooter, trying to keep the darkness at bay, knowing full well you're more of a tripwire than a stone wall. It takes either incredible courage or blissful ignorance to do that job well, perhaps a bit of both. Conclusion: the worst duty in the Imperium? Being a soldier of the Imperium is generally a gruesome, dangerous calling, no matter what branch you're in. But after exploring the plight of the planetary defense forces, it's clear why they're often considered worse off than even the laser gun fodder of the Imperial Guard. The PDF trooper is expected to do the impossible with next to nothing, to defend a planet with minimal support, to face horrors beyond imagination without flinching, and usually to perish in the process. All for a line or two in a history tome, if that. Short introduction and conclusion aside, the story of the PDF is one of unsung heroism laced with futility. These men and women are the shield of their world, but more often than not, that shield is made of cheap iron against a hail of artillery shells. They fight because someone has to, and they die hoping their sacrifice buys even a few more hours for salvation to arrive. It's a duty as noble as it is tragic. And it certainly doesn't get the fanfare or resources that the Emperor's more celebrated forces receive. So why is the PDF worse than the Imperial Guard? Because at least the Guard marches to war knowing it's war-equipped, somewhat, supported, hopefully, and valued as an arm of the Imperium. The PDF is expected to be the eternal understudy, going on stage when disaster strikes, with half the rehearsal and a fraction of the props, and still expected to put on a good show until the stars arrive. And if they fail, well, the Imperium always has more citizens to conscript and a handy body bag for those who fell in glorious service to the Emperor. In the end, one can only salute the hard-pressed planetary defense forces for doing a job few would want, and even fewer live to tell about. They are the unsung, the first to fight and first to fall. If you pray for the Imperium's triumph, spare a prayer for the PDF trooper in his muddy trench on some distant world, clutching his battered gun and whispering, "The Emperor protects," as the Horde closes in. He'll be lucky if those words hold true, and history suggests they often do not. Emperor be with you, PDF. You need all the help you can get.